The book of Luke, chapter 1 in the New Testament. Young people are being dismissed. Thank you so very much. All you have come this morning to worship the Lord. As you're turning there, just a quick reminder on the gifts we're giving in honor. If you'd like to give a gift in honor of someone, the instructions are in the back as far as taking two of the cards, one for you to give to the person in a card, or just to give that to them as a gift, and the other one to be displayed for on the Christmas tree. So those instructions are back there. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read one verse here. You'll understand the context here is, you'll notice up in verse 67 of chapter 1, the father of John the Baptist is prophesying here about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the forerunner. And he says here in verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, and he goes through and describes the coming Messiah. Well, I want to take you down to the verse 77 towards the end of his prophecy and to read that as our text. Verse 77, this is Luke chapter 1, verse 77. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. I want you to notice that last phrase there in our text where it says, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Let's say those four words, the way of peace, together. Would you say that with me? The way of peace. You know, that's what this world's looking for. This world is looking, searching for the way of peace. And many, many are looking in the wrong direction. Many are looking, tragically, in the wrong places and in the wrong things. But I want to tell you, as we understand Christmas, we understand what Christmas means. Christmas means that, and we celebrate it as being the holiday or the time of year where we recognize the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ who came to this earth. And, oh my, God taking on flesh, becoming like you and me, yet without sin. Mighty God. He's the one that brings everlasting peace. I prayed about what the Lord would have us focus on Christmas. And I believe each Sunday morning for the next 4 weeks, I want to preach on the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas. You and I both know that it can be a battle sometimes to appreciate the true spirit of Christmas. So many distractions. So many things taking place, and it's just a fast pace of life we already live. But when we hit November, you and I both know it takes on another level. So, as God's people, we understand that we have to be guarded, don't we? We do. We have to be intentional about being people of peace. We have to be intentional about keeping our focus on the Prince of Peace. Because if we're not careful, he'll be replaced. And even if we're not careful, we'll rob ourselves of the joy and peace it is in celebrating the reason for Christmas. So with God's help, this morning,
I want to preach a message entitled, The Peace That Christmas Brings. The Peace That Christmas Brings. Young people, I encourage you to take notes. And that's a title that you could write down. The Peace That Christmas Brings. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you would guide me in these next moments as we look at the truth of peace that only you can bring. Have your way, O God, in this service. Change our lives by thy word and the power of your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. The peace that Christmas brings. That is, if you understand the reason for Christmas and the reason we celebrate it. Christmas is a celebration of the peace that Jesus has brought to those who believe on him as their Savior. I hope you've made that decision. If you haven't, I certainly hope you will as soon as possible. I encourage the men this morning that everybody ought to have two birthdays. There ought to be your physical birthday and then your spiritual birthday. And there were several of the men that realized this morning they did not have a spiritual birthday. They had never been born again. And once you get born again, I'm telling you, you'll be able to celebrate Christmas in a wonderful way. Those men, a lot of this world, I told them, I said, one of the worst enemies to true Christianity, true Bible-believing Christianity is religion. Because religion is really empty. It's vain when it's apart from the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is who we worship. We don't worship Baptists. We don't worship denominations. We don't worship church deeds. We don't worship those things. Listen, all these people around the world, they're filling temples. They're filling mosques. They're filling synagogues. They're filling all these different religious buildings. And many of them have never been born again. That's where you find peace. When you realize the true forgiveness of sins. Amen. Listen, I appreciate, I want y'all, this is not to manipulate y'all at all. This is not to force y'all, because I know everybody's different on expression. But I will say this, when you say amen, that encourages me. And what that does is that helps me understand you're following along. Doesn't mean you have to say it. It means that, boy, what you just said, Pastor, is right. Now, I'm not telling you have to say that. We could remain silent for the rest of the service. Wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit. But I wonder if anybody could explain that to you, that an amen, time to time, amen in moderation, a good amen is healthy. We're right together, good spirit, hearts connected. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. Amen. Now, y'all did good. Amen. Now, seriously, I'm not fishing for those, but I just do want to let you know, if you ever feel that little prompting by the Holy Spirit says, say amen. You can even whisper it, amen, amen. We believe that Christmas is a wonderful season because of Jesus and what he did for us. The season can bring many, unfortunately, opposite effects, and it goes contrary to true peace. Things can distract us and even rob us of knowing and loving Jesus. And let me say this, when a good thing takes the place of the best thing, that good thing can become a bad thing. And I'm all for, I love the Christmas season, I get it. We go to Christmas gatherings and nothing wrong with it. We enjoy those times. We have Christmas parties, we have Christmas decorations, we have Christmas gifts. We have all these different things that we're doing. But if we're not careful, those are good things, okay? But if it robs us of the peace that Christmas brings, we've gotten off track. We've missed it. And is it ironic to you that the stress, that we stress ourselves out about celebrating peace? Isn't that ironic? I have to be careful every time I put that big sign in my front yard that says joy. Come on, kids! Y'all not going to help me? Y'all look so innocent out there. We do. Sometimes we totally miss it. We miss it. And we get so caught up in doing all those things when some of them are good and okay and healthy. We do them. But we can't let it rob us of the peace that Jesus brings. Not to mention that this is a time of year that can be a time of loneliness for many reasons. I think of those that have gone to be with the Lord, even from our church congregation this past year. And the loved ones of those families. I think of Jessica Sulo, just her mother just went to be with the Lord a few days ago. And it was a difficult Thanksgiving, but yet there was joy in her heart because, praise the Lord, her mother is in heaven because she knew Jesus. She had been born again. But I know that this can be a difficult time of season, but may we keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting. A Christian doctor carried out an interesting survey recently involving his patients. And as they waited in the waiting room, they were asked to fill out a little form, a little survey, if you will, on themselves. And one of the questions on that survey was, what is your number one wish? It's very interesting, the responses. On analyzing the answers, the doctor found that the number one wish of 67, nearly 70% of his patients was to have peace of mind. It's something that we all long for, don't we? I want to be at peace. You want to be at peace. And peace, understand, speaks of serenity. It speaks of a quietness. Now, we know that externally, don't we? We want to go find some peace. We find a quiet room. We go find a quiet place on vacation where there's not anything. There's a serenity there. There's a peace there. But what the Bible talks about that Jesus brings is an internal peace. It's a peace of the heart, of who you are. Your heart is at peace because you've been born again. And not only that, you're keeping your focus on Christ. So this Christmas season, let's don't lose the spirit of Christmas by losing our peace. A peace of heart, peace of mind. I want to give you 3 points here quickly. True peace is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. 3 points underneath that heading. True peace is found only in the life of Christ. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, we find that in the life of Christ, it was His life for me. I find true peace because His life for me. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child was born. And we got the scriptures we'll put up if you want to read that text. Young people, if you want to write down that reference on your notes. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And let's say that last one together. The Prince of Peace. That's our Lord. Let's make Christmas about Him, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be overwhelmed with joy and peace because of Him. Isaiah 57 states those that will not experience peace. Isaiah 57:21 says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And there are scores, millions, and even billions who are trying to find peace in religion. They're trying to find peace in pleasure. They're trying to find peace in drugs and alcohol. They're trying to find peace in all these areas. And God says, you'll never find it. You have to look to me, to Christ, for peace. The Bible says that in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. Don't miss that. The peace comes through the blood of His cross by Him to reconcile all things in Himself by Him. I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when we find Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross, and His resurrection, that's where we're going to get peace. Listen to what Romans 5:1 says. Therefore, being justified by faith, what are the next 3 words? We have peace. Who do we get our peace from? Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
I don't know who perhaps here today is without God, never been saved. Maybe you've gone to church. Maybe you could say all the right things. Nicodemus knew the law better. Now, I told the men this morning at the Potter's house, I said Nicodemus was that guy that carried his Torah to the synagogue, carried his scriptures to the synagogue. He had the best dress. He knew the answers. He was there every Saturday like clockwork, probably more than that. He was that guy that everybody saw. Boy, if anybody's saved, it's Nicodemus. But I want to tell you, he wasn't. Because Jesus said, Nicodemus, and we'll tell you right now, marvel not, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. And he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can have all the religious things and be lost, and God saying, I died for you, you got to be born again. And that's where the peace is going to come in. Because it's just going to be, religion's just so frustrating. You try to come to church to have to find peace with God. It comes through Jesus Christ and Him alone. It'll never work. And if you try to find it in a person, it'll never work. Here on earth, peace is found only in Christ. Missionary Don Richardson wrote a book called The Peace Child. How many have read that book, The Peace Child? Okay, several of you. Basically, he was reaching these tribal groups in Papua New Guinea. They didn't know anything about the Bible. And he's trying to reach them and trying to teach them this concept where there were these two tribes, they were just killing off each other. They've been doing it for centuries. And finally, they were coming to a point where they realized they had to stop this, or they were going to kill off each other. So what happened, and Don Richardson tells about this in his book, The Peace Child, he's trying to reach them for Christ. He notices something that the two head chiefs of these tribes come together and they figure out something to do to avoid all this killing. What'd they do? One of the chiefs allowed his son to be adopted by the other chief. And that child became the peace child. And as long as that child was there and remained, they understood that they were not to harm each other. This child was a symbol of peace. And then he used that. God allowed that to take place. And he understood how God the Father gave His only Son so that this world, sinners like you and me, could be at peace with God through Jesus Christ. That is a beautiful picture of Jesus bringing peace. It's amazing to see and to think of God's peace. Not only do we see peace for His life for me, but point number two, we see peace with His life through me. His life through me. Do you know if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, He's living in you right now? I know we can't sometimes get our mind wrapped around that, but the Bible says that Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, is living in us through the Holy Spirit. He's living in you right now. And so the way to have peace is to let Jesus just live His life out through me. Listen to John 14:27. Listen to what Jesus says. Peace I leave with you. Please, somebody say the next two words with me. Say it again. Jesus saying, it's not just any peace. He's not saying a peace. Jesus is saying, my peace I'm leaving with you. He says, not as the world giveth. The world's trying to give it in so many other ways. He says, I give you real peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And we, as God's people, need to understand that Jesus, we find true peace from Him because of His life for us, but secondly, because of His life through us. Think about Galatians 5:22, where it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's what the Spirit of God is going to produce for the life of Christ. Same with Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and
peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Y'all, some of y'all may have enjoyed reading Peanuts cartoon from time to time with Charlie Brown and Lucy, and you may have heard this one before, but I just found it so appropriate and applicable to this understanding of peace. In this specific cartoon, it's titled Lucy's Inner Peace. In this Peanuts, Lucy says to Charlie Brown, "I hate everything. I hate everybody. I hate the whole wide world." Charlie says, "But I thought you had inner peace." Lucy replies, "I do have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness." You know, sometimes God's people are like that. We say we know Jesus, but we have an outer obnoxiousness. And really, the truth is, when that takes place, we do not have an inner peace. And we're not letting the peace of Jesus live out through us. You see, the spirit of Christmas is His life for me. It's His life through me. And then thirdly and lastly, it's His life over me. It speaks of His sovereignty. His life over me is point three. His life over me, His rule over me. You see, when the King of Peace has the rule of my heart, I'm going to be at peace. Listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Most of you memorized this before, perhaps. And let the peace of God do what? Rule. That means be the umpire. To be there on the place, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. You see, I can let the peace of God rule in my heart because the King of Peace is in control. The King of Peace, Jesus Christ, is in control. I can trust Him. I'm under His care. I'm under His wings. The shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice, Lord. I don't believe there's any greater pillow to lay a weary head than on the pillow of God's sovereignty. Knowing that God is in control of my life, and what He allows is going to eventually use it for my good and His glory. That will help bring peace to my life. But if I go through life constantly questioning God's goodness and His character and His sovereignty, then I'm not going to have peace. You know, we're letting a lot of things rob us of our peace because we're trying to find peace in the wrong things. We'll never understand everything, folks. We just won't. We're so limited. And there's just certain things that we will never know why they happen. Why they're taking place the way they are. What people are thinking when they're doing that. And why God allowed me to be born in the family that I was born in. And why I have the weaknesses that I have. Why I have the shortcomings that I have. And why I have the failures that I have. And why all those things? I believe God's going to use them because He's sovereign, but I won't always understand every bit of that. But I can trust Him. And that will bring peace to my heart. It's not a cop-out. It's a confidence in the sovereign King, who is also known as the King of Peace. The Prince of Peace. In Hebrews, it refers to Him as the King of Peace. Isaiah refers to Him as the Prince of Peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now the Lord of Peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." 2 Peter 3:14 people that were very troubled by the persecution and then also the judgment that was announced in the first two chapters of 2 Peter and part of chapter 3. He says, wherefore, in other words, because of these judgments, beloved, see that you look for such things. Be diligent that you may be found of Him in what? That we may be found in Christ in peace, Peter said, without spot and blameless. And probably a verse you are familiar with, and I hope you will familiarize yourself with it more and more, is Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him or her, anybody, in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Most people here have heard of John Wesley. What comes to mind when you think of John Wesley? What was that? Yeah, Wesleyan, started that church. Anything else? Hymns, lots of hymns. He was a songwriter. He was a preacher, but you know he got saved a little later in life when he thought he was saved. Notice, listen to his testimony. John Wesley's conversion came as a result of a great storm at sea. And through his conversion, though his conversion came 2.5 years after that storm, God used it in a very marvelous way. What happened? What changed his life? What sparked something in his heart? It was something that some German believers, also referred to as the Moravians, were on that ship having service. And he said it was one of the worst storms he had ever experienced on a ship crossing the sea. He thought they were for sure. Water was crashing in, boards were busting, and he said these precious people were still singing. They were still praying together. He was witnessing this. He never got over that. And he talked to one of the men, and he wrote about this in his journal later on. This is quoted, but he goes to one of the men and says, "You were not afraid. You were calmly singing." And he said, "Were you not afraid?" And the man answered this, "I thank God, no." And then he says, "I asked, but were not your women and children afraid?" And he replied mildly, "No, our women and children are not afraid to die." And John Wesley noted that 2.5 years later, that had such an impact on him that he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and got born again. People of peace will make an eternal impact. Let's go out of here this Christmas season and every season, people of peace. Yes, let's have the parties. Yes, let's put the lights up. Let's shoot the fireworks. I like shooting fireworks. Let's do those things. Let's get gifts for the kids. Let's do those things. But please, please, let's be an example to our children and to our church and for the glory of God, this lost community, that people without God, let's be an example of people of peace. And if you agree to that, would you say amen? Amen. Let's pray.